not natural and it's not normal.
Blog Talk Radio.
Make us feel good, you know. And what happened, it really done went crazy since they have made people, you have to have a code of conduct, as Art like to say, but also Dr. Anderson have it in his book, and most folks who do anything know every family has to have a code of conduct, every community has to have a code of conduct, every household, every church. You have to have that now, regardless of how you operate. Because when we had structure, when we had Fluke and we had Jeff Ford, we had all our brothers and all of them, you could go to them, they call folks together and call things to order. But the structure, all our folks got put in jail, and the structure got all messed up, and there's no structure. Now, the Latino community be doing shooting too, but they got some structure over there. That's why when that little boy got shot who was getting initiated in their gang, they pulled that one off the thing real quick and went and decided to build a sanctuary place to take their children off the street. They understand the importance of education. But what you see right now, parents, children who really not, these children not educated, I'm telling y'all, why y'all right here jumping up and down with all this symbolism? And we're turning our functionally illiterate students that really act like animals. It's animalistic just to shoot somebody or shoot a baby up. All this stuff to have in our community, folks scared to celebrate. Because if they celebrate, then somebody might come by and shoot and all that. That's not natural. And then to hear these people talking about the border, these kids coming across the border with their parents leaving their homes, that they are traumatized. Come on, y'all. They left their country to be traumatized. What about the children right here who are traumatized? Andrew Holmes said the other day, he said Kamala Harris can go somewhere, but she needs to come to Chicago. And she needs to be trying to deal with the problem right here. So we got to see what this stuff is, y'all. As we celebrate, we have a way, and it goes all the way back to slavery, to just ignore sometimes some of our pain. But the difference of being enslaved, the difference of all the stuff we went through, was that we always move forward. But there's something else going on because somebody else are taking total control of our mind. And they got you looking at gangsterism for you to our children look up to, okay, if a police kill somebody, he should not be killing them. But that person you look up to, I ain't got to take this, you know, or you got this. Or then you don't look over there at how many folks that I'm a gangster, I can shoot folks, I can do this. And it's a breakdown. It's really a breakdown. So as we talk about today, I had to talk to my grandchildren. They already know their history. But some of them who had it confused, a couple of them, you know, I sit folks down in my house and we talk sometimes. I just said, no, this wasn't, y'all know this is not the end of slavery. You got folks going around here talking about, we celebrate now, well, this is the end of, that was the end of slavery. And that's bad. See how they have taken our history. And I know y'all can call in and talk about that today. How they take our history and turn it around. That wasn't the end of enslavement of black people. Lincoln issued a proclamation on January 1st, 1863. And I thought it was the amendment. And then I think I'll get the rest of it for you. I'll come up and take a break in a minute. And then so the Congress gave the amendments and all of that. That was a celebration. That was the end of slavery, the enslaved people. That's in the beginning of Jim Crow, but that was the end of enslavement. Juneteenth, and I was in the beauty shop yesterday. I tell some people, these older people really thought that was the end of slavery. And I don't mean old my age, but older, my Ebony age and all them children. So what do you think children think? And some of the folks in there was not, a couple of Africans and stuff was not. But anyway, I had to tell them that that was, and we need to tell, and we got to tell that, because what has happened is Biden all of them have put a narrative, even our own representatives have put a narrative on this Juneteenth thing. They don't, and I've spoken at a Juneteenth celebration in Galveston before, and this was a big celebration that Tulsa have always had. This was a big day for Tulsa, Juneteenth. They've always celebrated. And the thing of it is that was when, I think they had been in for 2 years, that the Emancipation had been signed, and when they found out they was free, and you can look it up, when I think some of the colonels said, y'all have to be on this, y'all, we's free? Yeah, so that's in Galveston, Texas, of the enslaved people. That was not, so how are you going to tear down Lincoln's statue and not celebrate and then celebrate Juneteenth. There's a contradiction. How these people tell us how you talk about how are you going to talk about the proclamation didn't mean nothing in our country because of enslavement, but celebrate you? See, they got people so confused. And I'm telling you this. I'm going to take five more. I'm telling you this because I've been dealing with it for a few days. I said, now, just the other day I was telling some folks, you thought Lincoln was over this and we was going to tear down his statue and that didn't mean nothing about this and that. But yet they got our folks down, which means people can really direct us. They got us all hollering up about Juneteenth. Yep. It's symbolism they give us. And I think we should know our history and celebrate. But they give us symbolism, and they take the education and the economics away from us. And we should. And what have happened is that we are part of American history. So if you teach American history the way it's supposed to be taught, then our history will be taught in there. But what they have done is make you pull it out with this critical race stuff and all these other folks and all the other stuff. If you don't really get a history, a good history of what's going on. Now, if you look at all this stuff like critical race theory and all this stuff, if they really want to do our history, they would have called real historians. They even would have talked to Dr. Anderson, other historians, to put together something for our schools. But nope, it's got to be a spin because you got to hate this, hate that, and you still don't know, and you got so much anger that you can't create and you can't demand. So what we have gotten is, and look, like I said, I knew Juneteenth, and my children knew Juneteenth, and like I've spoken down there to Gaveston, I've spoken at Tulsa for the, that's a big day in Tulsa. Some of y'all might not know that. But that was a big day in Tulsa, Juneteenth. So don't get it confused now. That was not the end of slavery. Just know that Lincoln signed the proclamation. He signed that proclamation in 1863 in December 13th. The 13th Amendment was signed December 13th, 1865. Lincoln issued the proclamation on January the 1st, 1863. So just know we need to take a moment, because what they do is they cloud our history up and make everybody become part of our history, that you really are getting watered down and becoming irrelevant because you don't want to be a part of America that you built. That's why they can tell you about systemic racism instead of institutional racism. That's why, and that'll give J.P. Morgan a chance to come in and say, I'm going to give some money to the West Side and the South Side, when J.P. Morgan's whole business was built off the backs of slavery by the House of Morgan. Y'all hang on in there, by the House of Morgan. And then you'll see that Morgan, that wouldn't even exist without the enslaved people. But you play the game, oh, I'm going to give this money, a little money to the West Side and the South Side, and I'm going to get a big sum. And there I'm going to share with everybody there, all the minority. And they'll just get all excited and jumping and trying to get some of this money. In the meantime, you're shortchanging your children. That's what it is. So, but you don't know. But if they make you get the historian together to write the American history, and you be part of the American history, there's no way that nobody else can delude us. Yeah, let's enjoy a Juneteenth. I mean, I'm not all excited about him making this a national holiday. If y'all excited, fine. But I think in the whole thing, even seeing some of the black folks waving the pins and stuff, like they ready to do a dance, you would think that this man had just given them some land, 4 acres and a mule or some stuff with the interest, you wouldn't have thought. But to give you got a pen. So you could wave your pen when you look at the historical perspective of what black folks is today, just like they got, I think my friend Colin told me they call Bloody Sunday Jubilee Sunday. Now I got to make sure and find out. They take control of all of our history, and then they dictate how we're going to talk about it. And then you have folks who was not part of it. I was reading in the Essence, the latest edition of Essence, where the girl, young lady who played Harriet Tubman, She's from South Africa. And she was saying that she never really understood what the black body, that's what she said, in this country went through until she did the study. I had to study for Harriet Tubman. But that just tells you something, because folks come in and don't know our history. You got all these folks on the TV guiding you, and some of them are from Canada and other places, and then you have folks like Don Lindman telling you white privilege and hate white men, hate this, and he go home and sleep with a white man, and then you got other folks saying this, and defund the police, and then they go home in an area where they got security guards, and you got this, and they get school board, and they got their children in private school. So we got to slow up here, y'all. Let's celebrate today. And then come back, because I got to take a break in a minute. 1 minute, I'm gonna take a break, because I really so much to talk about. Because I really want to talk about that elected school board, but I want to talk about the fathers. If you want to talk, I want y'all to call in and talk about the men in your life, the fathers who helped raise you, the fathers in the community I grew up. I had one of the greatest grandfathers who was really my step grandfather, a big daddy, Robert T. White. That was my granddaddy, but I had a great father and a great stepfather who always maintained their friendship because, hey, I was my daddy's baby, and my dad loved his children, and, you know, it's really something how our community was. And when I was growing up, I didn't know no man that went in the house, nobody's house. Everybody had a man in the house. I can think of two families that might not have, and I won't name them, but it was always men, uncles, men, stepfather, somebody was around. It was always a family thing. So we have to really, we don't want to dilute the men because we're celebrating Juneteenth today. We want to really talk about black men. And if you want a song played, I want you to tell me about your father, or tell me about the man that might have been important in your life, what happened, you know. And let's talk about, and black women, let's you call in, because you got a role too. When my children, father, and I divorced, we always maintain a close relationship because of our children. And it's about, and you know, I didn't lie, nobody talk about the children. And we, my dead father. So I'm going to come back and talk about that too. But today, let's not forget today is Father's Day. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, if you want to talk about Juneteenth, but I really want to talk about the fathers. And if you want to, I'm going to try, if you give me a dedication, I'll try to pull up the records after the dedication, a little piece of it for you. But let's talk about it. And talk about how we stop these men from being killed on the street. So I want you to get your coffee and get your tea. Talk of Chicago 69 WN 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And we also on everything you can think of. Get your coffee and your tea. Blog Talk. Come on back and talk to me. Happy Juneteenth. Happy Father's Day and happy birthday, Jimmy.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Tune in to More Than That with Gia Peppers live this Saturday at 10 p.m. or wherever you listen to podcasts. This Juneteenth episode of More Than That is sponsored by General Motors as part of their commitment to becoming one of the most inclusive companies in the world. Everybody in.
Hope. It's when you believe that tomorrow will certainly be better than today. And it's the reason ComEd provides financial support to help reduce the stress of paying energy bills and reduce energy costs for eligible customers who may be going through tough financial times. We provide help so hope can always stay alive. See if you qualify for financial assistance or one of our income-eligible energy efficiency offerings at ComEd.com/support. ComEd, powering lives.
The Chicago Minority Supplier Diversity Council and its president, Vincent Williams, invites you to its 54th annual virtual business opportunity fair, June 15th, 23rd, and 24th. They are connecting the dots on business synergies, opportunities, and solutions. Hear from exciting guest speakers and panel discussions, including Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Terrence Williams, Executive Vice President at Allstate, WVON's Melody Span Cooper, and others. Attend virtual workshops and a business Business Fair, where you can meet virtually with decision makers one-on-one. The Chicago Minority Supplier Development Council is the premier organization for increasing business opportunities between corporations and minority-owned firms. For more information on the Chicago Minority Supplier Diversity Council's 54th Annual Opportunity Fair, June 15th, 23rd, and 24th, visit CBOF54.com. That's CBOF54.com. Don't miss it.
Hi, break time?
I know you.
I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. Try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
WVON, where being black and proud is not just a moment, it's a movement. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud, y'all. We back and we got the groove going on. We got the energy going on. And when I talk about men, black men and the fathers, and I feel real good, y'all. We back. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON, 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook and group Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk. I want to talk about Juneteenth, but I don't want a whole lot of talking. I want to talk about your father. We have got to celebrate our men. I know when I used to go to the jail, I used to say, come on, brother, when you come out of here, we need you. I went to all institutions. And sometimes I see some of these brothers now who are really coming out and got themselves together. We need them more than ever now because somehow some other force have taken over our children's mind. And we need you mothers to get together and fight for the education of your child. They're all confused because there's no education going on. The only thing going on is critical. You're done with some critical race thing and all that stuff and the LGBT and the drag queen and all that. I don't like to look at nobody's keyhole, but black folks have never been into bothering folks whatever it was, but to make that the center of your education, y'all, and y'all allowing that something wrong, no math, no science. When my children went to school, we had men that was also principals. They moved all the men out of our schools, Mr. Dr. Beverly, Mr. Travis, and a bunch of other stuff, people. They moved him out. So we, and congratulations, Mollison got a man now. I hope he'd be all right. You know, so we got to look at our community. You can't have a whole community without the men being whole. The women got to be whole and the men got to be whole. I like to tell my, don't talk about my children's father, that's their father. But we talk about the children's daddy like a dog. And that's their father, and they get these hang-ups. If you love them enough to have a baby with him, you don't need to talk about him. You just let the children revere him. And father, you need to talk about the mother. You got to be like that. Our family's whole, you know. And all you have to not do that. You came from down south, the family was, we stayed together. You know, we wasn't like that. And my brother, I have to celebrate him. He had 7 children, James. I know he's listening. He raised them as a man, how he raised his children. He worked hard. Because what my grandfather, Robert T. White, and my father and my stepfather taught him. And his children... they was fine. He got one as a doctor, some a teacher. We got everything that he is to have, even one that went astray. He was gone. He was out there. But because of the strength of my brother, he came on back. Now, what do you do now? You know, he works, got a good job, and he own property and stuff. But he didn't have a steady hand on him like that. The way we were raised, it wouldn't have made it. But we were taught certain things, and we need to go back to that. We cannot raise black children the way white folks raise their children. When they told us and tried to tell us how to discipline our children, we start having a problem. They don't want you to discipline because they want the police to discipline or the institution to put them in. I know y'all probably said, what it is, Dorothy Tim, what it is. Oh, yes, what it is. We have got to honor our men today. Y'all can call and talk all that mess if you want to, but I want to hear about the men in your life that made a difference or how you feel the pain. If your father was gone, who was there? What, do you want to make a song? What about your grandfather? Let's talk, and let's salute our men today. And if you got a song, if you got a song that you want to play for somebody, tell me. I'll write it down and try to get it. I think I do men's boys when I go out. So let's do that. We celebrate you. We salute you. And I will tell you, the reason Texas folks did not know about the enslavement, they was able to get over them because it was like in a remote area back then. So people didn't really know. So you make folks say, that's not the end of slavery. But your president has said that, and the Congress people are out there waving some pens. Raven's some pissed happy about that shit, that stuff. It's like, these folks give us anything. Give me jobs, give me contracts. And that's a whole other story we're going to get into next week after we do black music next week. I tell you, I was going to have Jimmy this week, but we'll have him next week. But I got to get into this whole educational piece because I want to talk about it. I'm opposed to this elected school, but I want to have time to explain it to y'all of why. And then we got to talk about the contracts and talk about a lot of stuff. Someone called me from Tulsa the other day, and they told me how when the president came out there and the folks, now they're redoing the lawsuit. They had 100-and-some people with Ogletree, but now they only got 11 people on the lawsuit and what they're asking for. But that's a whole other story that we're going to talk about another day. They called me from Tulsa, and they were very upset because they knew I was part of it with Ogletree, and they was telling me what was going on. So we get really messed up. Let me go to the phone. Happy Father's Day, Minister Plump.
Thank you very much, and happy beloved Father's Day to you and all the beloved brothers and sisters that's listening on WBON. I'd like to reflect on my grandfather, John Plump, Sr., was the greatest. He's the one that adopted myself and my brothers and sisters, brought us from Chicago, and put us in a civilized way of life that we could study the Lord Yahshua, who most know as Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I'm very thankful that we had him in the family, as well as my own beloved father, John Plump Jr.
Yes.
Because we are heirlooms, and heirlooms are legal inheritance. Mm-hmm. So my parents have left us inheritance, and I remember the world's greatest mayor, the Honorable Mayor Harold Washington, the whole community.
Uh-huh.
And so happy Black Music Month, because we got Honey Jam Music.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about Music Month next month. We're going to have Jimmy Tillman on, Professor Tillman on, and we have some other folks. So let's talk about it next week. Thank you for calling in to talk about your grandfather. Huh? Let me tell y'all something. Why is it? Let's talk about our men. Let's talk about those folks. You know, when you think about S.B. Fuller, you think about Earl Grey, you think about all these folks who've done things, and you think about Mr. Gardner, who was a father to a lot of folks. There's so much stuff. We got, you know, when you think about Booker T. Washington, if you think about Carver, you think about all our men, different folks who were there, you know, folks who was in the community helping us. Let's think about that, y'all, okay? Anita. Anita?
Hi.
Yes.
Good morning, Dorothy. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
That's good. Well, there's just too many black men to say everybody that influenced you, but I want to say something about all the music in the 70s when I was growing up and before that.
All what?
That I can, the music.
We're not talking about music. We're celebrating fathers today.
I'm just saying that the messages in the music was very positive when you're going to, like, school. So they were an example. My mother was widowed,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I had a stepfather,
uh-huh.
and my mother had five children, and he was very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandfather was, my family never allowed him to be the family person. They always made sure they took care of us, and his sisters made sure that we were taken care of because their mother had died when they were like.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Anita. That's what I was saying earlier about the black family, how we did stuff. We don't let folks turn us away from what our real history is and let other folks to dictate it. I thank you for that. That was really good, Anita. I appreciate that. Thank you. Ron.
Miss Tillman?
Yes, sir. Hey, happy Father's Day.
This one of my favorite days.
Great.
My children keep treating me, wonderful. But I was blessed. When I say blessed, Miss Tillman, have a wonderful, wasn't perfect, but my father and Miss Tillman, I told you a couple weeks ago, he taught me the most important lesson I ever learned. I would come home, do my homework, go out and play. He'd say, you can't be back here at 6 o'clock, and then don't go. Because there are no excuses. And then lastly, you know, I worked up there at the Jewels, you know, me, Tony Glenn. He would tell me.
Let me tell him who Tony Glenn. Hold on. Tony Glenn, let me tell people who Tony Glenn is. Tony Glenn was a young man that worked at Jewels, that used to live in Robert Taylor, that when I built the Grand Boulevard Plaza, that we made sure they let him build a grocery store. And he had to go under because black folks didn't show up to buy his grocery, and that's one of the best grocery stores it was.
And we are still good buddies. But this is what my father would do, Ms. Tillman. He said, you know, I was young, just starting out as a banker. He told me, write down your work schedule on the calendar. And he told me, you be out there playing with your friends who don't have a job. You have a job. I was only maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it has all those lessons. So I'm about just a year of retirement. I've raised my family. He took all five of us,
mm-hmm.
Lotto, and all of us, Ms. Tillman, have made it and taken care of them. But this is the most important thing. The night before he passed,
mm-hmm.
I was fortunate to live to 91.
Oh, my God, you got good genes.
Jim,
mm-hmm.
my mom and dad both lived to 91. But mm-hmm. the night before he passed, me and my wife and my son were at the house, and he shook my hand.
Mm-hmm.
He said, son, you all right with me?
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to say that. Nothing better can a man hear from his father.
Yeah.
But Ms. Tillman, I have to say this. Before I go, I know this is Father's Day, but my wife retired yesterday after teaching 41 years.
Well, oh my God, congratulations. But the only sad thing about that is that we got folks now in the school system problem, not like your wife. When she go, that was one less great black teacher we have. Because I know if she's your wife, she's a great teacher.
Thank you, Miss Tillman. Thank you. And she taught at a black school with Christians and been teaching young black children.
Ooh,
and she loved it all her life. So thank you for letting me say these things.
It's
and,
all right.
And just happy Father's Day to you, to all the men in your family, Miss Tillman. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to my son, Bimiji, who's a great father. He has two children, and I think he's a great father. And my son, Jimmy Lee Tillman II, with his children. He have three children, and both of them went to Hales, and both of them came out of college, and he got a little young daughter who just graduated from De La Salle. She's getting ready to go, and he got one grandson, so he's a great father, too. But also, I just wanted to say to all of the men at Liberty Church, too, and I'm going to be coming back in a minute, happy Father's Day, and to our pastor, Andrew Hunt, Jr., to you, too, happy birthday and happy Father's Day to Quinn Dixon, a young man that I kind of raised. Happy Father's Day. But happy Father's Day to all of you out there. I forget your name. Please don't get mad at me. And all the men at WVON. And first of all, happy Father's Day to Purva Span, the blues man who's Melody's father, whom I've known for a long time, and she's carrying the legacy. How many days with my father? Not days with my father, men's the boys. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back in a minute. Happy Father's Day to all of y'all out there, and you want to call in when we come back Say something about your father or your uncle or anybody. Even your brothers who had to help the brothers in the street. Call in. And what we're going to do here, and I want to say Happy Father's Day to Holmes, too, out there every day putting this up out there, trying to stop this violence and stuff. So Happy Father's Day, me and the boys. Okay, Patches. Patches remind me of the Southern thing is when the men died, when the men got ready, they put their... Listen to this. This is what Ron almost said, but they're kind of different. So I'm proud of you, but Patches' father knew. Now, this is the real Jim Crow. Happy Father's Day. I'm going to take a break, y'all. Call for key in the conversation. We direct the right field, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com, on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever we go. We're on Blog Talk, Facebook, and Group Facebook. Come on, y'all. This is doing Jim Crow era. Patches!
I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Two days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you to do.
Yeah, y'all, this is what I'm talking about. Come on, black folks. That's our culture. I don't know about this other mess that these folks telling y'all. This is us right here. That's Clarence Carter, y'all. Woo!
And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world.
I understand. Same thing happened with S.P. Fuller.
I was going through, because every day I had to work the field.
He had to carry his children, his sister and brother, sibling after his mother died. But look what S.P. Fuller did.
Everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my
look at all the men in Tulsa. They was all veterans. Look at them. They were real men, y'all. How you gonna celebrate something without emulating it? Woo! Call coffee in the conversation with me. I'll be right back, y'all. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. Patches!
An independent investigation of the Ocean City Police Department. They say officers used excessive force when arresting two black teens recently for violating a vaping ordinance. Baltimore NAACP President Kobe Little says it's time for state leaders to step up in the fight for racial justice.
The question is whether the rest of the elected officials in this state will stand up and speak out against police brutality, or if they'll just go to Ocean City and sit on the beach and have cocktails.
Cell phone video of last week's forceful arrest in Ocean City shows a cop repeatedly kneeing a teen in his side. Just days before that, police used a taser on a teen who was vaping in a non-designated area.
Convicted killer cop Derek Chauvin will be sentenced next week for the murder of George Floyd. And Minnesota prosecutors are making sure nothing gets in the way of that happening. Prosecutors are asking the court to deny Chauvin's defense team's request for a new trial. The ex-Minneapolis cop's attorney argues that Chauvin never had a fair trial and wants the convictions thrown out. In a memo, the state said those arguments have already been denied by the court, adding the defendant was unanimously convicted on all three counts based on evidence of his overwhelming guilt. He now seeks to escape his lawful conviction by any means. Chauvin could be sentenced to decades behind bars.
And Jeanette Young is once again disappointed in the city of Chicago, Illinois. The black woman was the victim of a 2019 botched raid and says Chicago's top officials are not moving fast enough in her lawsuit against the city.
The city's legal department and the mayor continues to be reckless in the way that they handle this case.
Young's attorney claims the city offered a lowball settlement figure and threatened to file a motion to dismiss the case during mediation last month.
Researchers say that racial bias powerfully shapes white Americans' views on domestic issues. But a new study shows that it influences how some white people choose to support American military intervention abroad as well. Ongoing research conducted by several assistant professors at the University of Delaware reveals that white Americans who hold racist beliefs are significantly more likely to endorse aggressive military interventions over diplomacy in foreign countries at odds with the U.S. if the residents of those countries are perceived as non-white. Researchers came to this conclusion by reviewing over three decades of public opinion data collected by the American National Election Study. I'm Jaleesa Chapman with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
I'm Devin Dunstan on the Black Information Network. In 1966, an African-American nurse by the name of Mary Van Britten Brown was concerned about the high crime rate in her New York City neighborhood. Her husband was away from home a lot, and she felt that she needed more protection than a simple door lock offered. With the idea of beefing up security in her Queens home, Mary Van Britten Brown and her husband started working on an idea that's now become the basis of many of today's home security systems. The Browns' electronic security system was based on a camera that allowed people inside to see anyone who came to the door without opening that door. Mary Brown then added a microphone, a button to unlock the door, and the ability to automatically call police if she needed help. In 1969, Mary Van Britten Brown and her husband were awarded a patent on their home security system. And today, the use of cameras, microphones, and automatic dialers are the fundamental components of many security systems. It's an invention that was patented by an African-American nurse more than 50 years ago. And that's a fact. I'm Devin Dunstan on the Black Information Network.
WVON is proud to welcome Dr. Michael Grayson of the Credit and Debt Management Institute every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Protect the most important thing in your financial life, your credit. If you are interested in keeping more of your hard-earned money in your pocket, tune in every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. to Bounce Back.
Dr. Michael Grayson will introduce a new government-backed program that can help you achieve perfect credit in 90 days or less. Call 718-481-3363 to see if you qualify.
Hope. It's when you believe that tomorrow will certainly be better than today. And it's the reason ComEd provides financial support to help reduce the stress of paying energy bills and reduce energy costs for eligible customers who may be going through tough financial times. We provide help so hope can always stay alive. See if you qualify for financial assistance or one of our income-eligible energy efficiency offerings at comed.com/support. ComEd, powering lives.
Vine TV welcomes a new judge show that everyone will be talking about. It's Lynn Richardson, America's money guru and host of WBON's Millionaire Roundtable in Debtor's Court. It's financial drama mixed with Lynn Richardson's straight no-chaser money advice. Watch episodes of Debtor's Court available now on Vine TV. You can find us on Roku, Apple TV Plus, Amazon Fire, or at VON.TV. Move over, Judge Judy. There's a new gavel in town. It's Lynn Richardson's Debtor's Court.
Also watch new episodes of America's favorite food critic couple, the Black Foodies, as they travel all over the country sampling black cuisine.
Vine TV is where vision meets volume.
WVON is celebrating Black Music Month with Legends in Library.
Never too much.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690, WVON.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the Talk of Chicago.
Let our rejoice.
the place that the dark has got caught. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new changing eager. Let us march on till victory is won. Down is the road.
Difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. We got some difficult days. I can't hide difficult. We got folks not studying, not understanding, getting our history redirected. We got our boys and girls out here killing up each other. We got directed that way, but they're directing us this way, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but God is, and they're redirecting the history, Dr. King, and redoing everything, and our folks are just, I know what you mean. It is 7 o'clock, whatever you are, in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. It is in time for you to take this deep breath, and I want you, all you women and black men, it's funny, y'all don't want to talk about y'all men, huh? Y'all want to just talk about all this other garbage they give you. We got some great black men, even the ones who done got messed up, we can bring them back. Take a deep breath. Black. Come on. Black. One more time. Black. Is that black enough for you?
Here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight.
Get it right, baby. We got to get it right, Dr. King. Dr. King, the daddy of the black community, of the civil rights movement, the man who was real.
I want to get the language
y'all
so right that everybody here will cry out.
Yes,
I'm proud of it.
Woo, I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. The number one father of the movement, my leader, my teacher. I mean, who did so much, and they're trying to slowly move him away. My leader, my teacher, along with Jim Bevel and all of them, all slowly move him away. Black, proud of it. We are celebrating Father's Day today. I know y'all into the Juneteenth. I am too. But just get the language right when you deal with Juneteenth, that it wasn't the end of slavery, even though the president said it was. It was Galveston, Texas, which I've spoken at, and I've spoken down in Tulsa. This used to be a big day for them. They really did pretty good celebrating. But that wasn't, you know, the 13th Amendment was signed, that was it. And the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation, when Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation January 1st, 1863, and then the 13th Amendment signed December 6, 1865. That was the end of slavery. But they don't want to tell you that. They want to cherry pick you. So they can tear down Lincoln's statue and say, forget about the proclamation and white male privilege and all of that. But see, they tell you that, then they got to talk about Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman in the real context. But they cherry pick and tell our children. So those of us who know, it's up to us to tell the truth and to try to tell it. So this is Juneteenth. This is not the end of slavery. It was a group of folks out in Galveston, Texas, which was a remote area then, when they said, y'all free. That's 2 years later. You know, and then, so we just need to tell. But they give us what to be excited about, and because we don't know nothing, anything make us feel good. That's what's so, you know, it's like, if anything will make you feel good, because you don't know and you want to be. And we should be fighting for the real American history to be taught in these schools, because we are American. We built this country. Don't let them tell you systemic. Let them talk about institutional racism, and that way you can deal with J.P. Morgan Chase and all of them. Not equity, but equality. Let's talk about these boards. They got y'all looking everywhere, and all these people who got y'all hating and killing up each other, they have put in our community. Why y'all want to know what happened? There's a lawlessness in here that was put here by outside forces. When they tell you don't respect authority, don't respect police, don't respect this, don't respect your mama, don't respect this, change this, LBG, don't do this, that. Let's not talk about education. Let's talk about sex. Other folks have taken our community and taken us back. We used to couldn't read. It was a crime. Now they just don't give you no education. They bring other folks in. They traumatize. It's a whole nother story, but we're celebrating fathers. And we made it through all of this. We made it through, and I tell people, oh, yeah, they think they want to know something, and they don't know nothing because they don't dig. They just let somebody just tell them what to say. You know, just tell them. Hey, I am a black American. My ancestors are from, my people are from here, and they built this country. And then everybody else come in and get all of the resources, then you go beg them for it. I want you to look at the structure that's going on here now. I want you to see the political and economic structure in this country. It does not include you. Folks just getting here, whether they're white or brown, and it's just a brown one, they're in charge of the economics and they're in charge of your political structure. I was looking at who's over the remap, Hispanic. Who's over the Board of Election, Latina. Who's over the Board of Education, Latina, who just got appointed to be take Jackson's place. Like, I'm saying, these folks, who's in Washington making the loudest noise? It's not our people. Our people are standing there waving some damn pins. So we have to have structure. We've always, you know, had structure. And I'm going to talk 1 week, a whole political show, because I want to tell y'all what we had before the Civil Rights Bill was passed and we was going to representation before Bloody Sunday and what we have now. And you tell me what you think people are doing. You tell me. But we have got to lift our men up We need the men in the street to talk to these little boys. But all they want to talk about social justice and who killing the police doing this, we got to stop it. Yeah, I don't believe in the violence. Don't get me wrong. But we also got baby kids that are shooting and killing. But there's a setup in this country for our people to be like that. They say, you ain't got to worry about nothing. And they're really exposing our children. They're exposing our children to say you could be defiant. And when you be defiant, then you get hurt. So we got it messed up all kind of ways, y'all. And we got all these folks who have no concept of history, don't care about us, talking to y'all. And it's really deep. It's really deep. So anyway, we're celebrating today Father's Day. It is Father's Day. The men in your life, if you want to do a song, we'll write down and try to play it later. I want to talk about your uncle or your grandfather or just somebody like Mr. Radcliffe who have a baseball team that he'd be father to these boys. When I was in office, the 2nd District and the other police stations had football teams and stuff where they played football and chess and everything with the children. So you got an adversary relationship with the police to say all of them are bad. So we can't get our children to work so they can strive to be that so they can help take care of us. I know a lot of good police officers, just like there are some bad ones. But then so you make folks just, they don't just, they be authority-turned police. You too, they raise up against their mamas. They don't go to church. Don't understand something. We got to save the children, and we have to do what we got to do. It's not about the old folks. It's about the children. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVN, number 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.wvn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and you can get us on Blog Talk if you miss us. I got so much to talk about, but I got to hold it up for next week. Like I told y'all, I did talk to someone coming from Tulsa. That was a whole other story that we'll get into. And happy Father's Day to Ogletree. I know he got Alzheimer's, and he fought so hard. So happy Father's Day to you, Ogletree. Mr. Gardner, who really, these are folks who did bigger things for the black community, who love the black community. Y'all don't remember Silas Parnell, all the children he put through college? If one thing, my children might not have gotten. He made sure they got to the HBC. Nobody don't think about Gus Savage, who had them black papers. And when he had his funeral, the black, what was so deep is that the black caucus didn't even come to his funeral. Because the white man already dubbed him, and he was, you know, get away from here. They put a target in it because white folks, black folks scared to come near folks. When white folks say, oh, they this, and they say, you believe that. Now, Congressman Davis and Congressman Rush came to his funeral, but the black caucus did not honor him. When you talk about the black caucus, who was the founder of the black caucus, was John Conyers. Yet they didn't even take him and put him in state, lie him in state at the in the rotunda at the Capitol, but they gave John Lewis because John Lewis was on the Edmund Pettus Bridge and they wanted to use him, and they put some ashes of somebody who they lied to you that was killed at the Capitol. But once they use you, then they throw you away. Bevel said the white man got made two things, a nigger and a mule, and neither one of them reproduce. They just take you out and shoot you when they get through with you. So we got a lot of folks that that we want to say happy Father's Day to. A lot of folks, and happy Father's Day to all of my listeners out there, to you. And, you know, cause call in, let's talk about it. Let's talk about your father, the most important thing in your life, and all of that. And I told y'all about Juneteenth. We'll talk a little bit, but I'm into the dad of the day. Milto. Hello?
Good morning, Dorothy Tillman. Maurice Nichols, Bank of Africa.
Oh, they got something else on your name. Okay, yeah, okay. Maurice, okay.
It's just me. It's just me.
Yeah, they put the wrong name up here. Did you give them that name? Go on.
I talked to Ebony. Talked to Ebony. She said she greeted me. I think you
okay, that's all right. Go on, talk. No. You come on.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Happy Father's Day to all the black fathers out there. My dad, he's passed now,
okay.
But he was one of the many, many black men who migrated from Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
got tired of that sharecropping stuff.
Yeah.
Aside from raising 11 kids, Dorothy, you know they couldn't get home loans, right? Mortgages?
Right.
My dad bought that 837 South Hammond, my sister, for $14,000. Never missed a payment.
So come on
He's
now.
A good man.
Good man.
Yes, ma'am.
A good man that made
God
a good man.
You, and made it for his family.
Yes, yes. And I'm celebrating
God
men.
God bless you, George.
Thank you. I'm celebrating y'all today. I love y'all. I love black men, y'all. I'm celebrating y'all today. Come on. It's so funny. If I was talking a bunch of junk, y'all would be all over the place. We celebrating black men. Can't y'all call in and talk about who was in your life and what men helped you? The whole community? No, y'all don't want to do that because we're not talking about somebody dying or doing that and doing that. Happy Father's Day to the men. Brother Weatherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been doing a series on the father all the month of June.
Yeah.
I came from America. God sent Elijah from the heart of the son back to the father. The father back to his son.
Mm-hmm.
God bring the father back in a rightful place in position of authority and have a relationship with God for their staff and be a father to their family. Your father.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Thank you. I tell you, let's go to Jacob.
Good morning, Elder.
Hey, happy Father's Day, my brother.
You know what's ironic, though? All right. Father's Day was established June 19, 1910.
Okay.
We know who. Why would I hold a day in 1910 that was created by some white dude who was doing my people dirty? Why would I hold it in regard and take it like this is something like the Creator would love?
Okay.
That's David. They made, just like you said about Juneteenth, they gave us this too.
Well, we need to take a moment. We need to take a moment out to honor our fathers. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I take a moment to honor you because there's so many days of folks saying negative about you. We need to take time out in our days. You have to have some structure and some order, Jacobs. So you put structure together to do some stuff. Come on, everything ain't got to be bad, Jacob. Happy Father's Day, and I love you. See, that's what I mean. You got to have structure. Everything got to have structure in life. Everything. So you got Mother's Day, Father. They don't want you to say mothers and fathers no more. They want you to say birth person, no genders, no this. So let me tell you about the contradiction. You got a group of folks out here, including your president, who have passed a law that you got gender neutral, no male, no female. No Father's Day, no Mother's Day. When you say Heavenly Father, Mother Earth, you need the father and the mother to have a baby, right? But they want to make you think you don't need all that, put you in a test tube, do anything. Listen. Listen to me. You have to make sure that we celebrate black men other than always. You want to celebrate somebody who had their foot on their necks and put their picture everywhere or celebrate someone going to jail. Celebrate black men, these fathers and stuff, or these men in the community that's helping children. No, they don't want you to do that. That's too positive. That's too positive. Mama D, how you doing?
Oh, hallelujah. Greetings. Three things quickly.
No, one thing. Happy Father's Day.
Okay. I'm going to get to that.
No, you're going to stay on Father's Day now because my board is lit up.
On Father's Day, you wait. Can I just speak, please?
I don't know. Come on. If it's get off of Father's
real
Day.
Men,
uh-huh.
Real men do more than just cook.
Okay.
They take care of their children. And every time a black man marries outside of his race and gives his name to that person, he breaks up the black family. Now, my father, mother.
That's what I want to hear about.
My father's mother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. And he wrote his name with an X. But he was a mathematical genius, and he faced being lynched, getting his money straight. He stood up, and this is what he said. He said, "Hair, I am a black man." He said, "Hair grows up on my upper lip like it does any man." And he won bets shooting bumblebees in flight in half and taught me how to shoot a Winchester rifle when I was 7 years old.
Now, wait a minute. Tell you watching out. Now, we was taught how to shoot real early, wasn't we? These folks, we used to guns. Everybody I knew down south had a gun.
Okay. And my mother told me, "Okay, girl, you just like your daddy."
I believe it.
When they came to get my daddy, they was going to get everybody that was big enough to hold a gun in their hand. They was going to shoot us all down.
What was your father's name? What was your father's name?
His name was Sam Brooks.
Brooks?
Sam Brooks.
Okay.
And he was married to my mother, Sadie Mae Brooks.
Oh, Sadie. Hey, I tell you, now there's a song called Sadie. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is deep. This is really deep. Let me go here. Taylor.
Good morning, Dorothy.
Hey, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I want to talk about my father. He also came from Mississippi at 18 years old, and he raised our family. And I tell you, he worked at a steel mill. And he gave us the discipline we needed, the education we needed. He provided for us. We had fun doing different family things. I saw him go to work every day.
Now, listen to that. You know what, Taylor? Now, that's what people keep mixing up when they hear this stuff. When they gave away all of our jobs to China and everywhere, closed the steel mill, closed down the factories, they took away the right for black people to have jobs to raise their father like you did. See, black folks don't think that deep. When Trump was talking about all the jobs went to China, the steel, shut down the steel mills. We still use steel. We still use all those things.
We sure do.
But they shut them down, and that's how you was able to get a black man to take care of his family. Every day came on back and went to church, did all that. So we don't really see ourselves in the whole world order of the economic educational piece. We only see what they tell us. And I'm glad to hear about your father. A happy Father's Day to you too, Taylor, because I'm sure he raised you to be a great father.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Dorothy, for the opportunity.
Okay, bye-bye. See, folks don't see the economic piece with all of this. They don't see the fact that when all the factories closed down and went to China, or all the steel mills and the other stuff, when Trump was trying to bring the steel mills back, I said, look, y'all, I don't care who you vote for, let's fight to bring them back. I thought the lady from Gary should have been in Washington because she and saying, look, I want my steel mill back up. See, we got to do something here. We got to do, I'm telling y'all, this stuff is real deep that's happening to black folks in terms of economic base because everybody else is building one. They got currency, they got country. All these folks, y'all better go look at some other stations, see all these folks coming across the border, and they setting up everything. But y'all better wake up, children. I think I got my daughter on the line, Jamil. You speaking on behalf of the family to your daddy?
Oh, good morning, Mother. Yes, I am. This is me, Jamil.
Y'all, this is my middle daughter.
Yes. First, I would like to say happy Father's Day, of course, to the VON listening family, all the VON staff, my brothers, my uncles, everybody out there, especially my pastor, Andrew Hunt. But I would like to say a special happy Father's Day to my daddy, Dr. Jimmy Lee Tillman. See, people
know
you're
daddy, baby.
Yes, but my father, one of our greatest memories is he taught us how to fish. You know, down south they put a gun in everybody's hand when you was young, but up north my father put an instrument in each one of our hands. So he gave us the blessing and the wisdom of music. He taught us how to play chess. He instilled that critical thinking and problem solving. And he was the first person to ever introduce me to meditation at the age of 10. So I just really appreciate
into that. He was always into that third eye meditation. So go over and sit down and meditate. You're too hype. Sit down and think.
Yes.
Just meditate.
Sit down and meditate, yes. And I would like to say happy birthday to him as well. And I love my daddy. And that's all I got, Mama.
I know you love your daddy, girl. Everybody knows that. That's a daddy's baby. I tell you, let me tell you something. One thing that their father said, Jimmy always said the children had to play music, chess, and they play Scrabble. They could play chess and Scrabble together. Oh, when everybody wanted to run around, they could pick up an instrument. Every one of my children read music. Every one of my children play the instrument. Even out to Ebony, if you listen, Maurice, he plays the trumpet. Jimmy plays the trumpet. Jim Alita plays a saxophone. Bemidji plays 15 instruments. He's the one who wrote that song about reparation. But he's the only one really taking it on to the level of making it a profession and being a, he played with some everybody. But that was one of the things. And, you know, I want to say something else about Jimmy. That's what I mean about these extra fathers. When you look at Carl, Carl is the principal of the school in the suburb. He was at King one time. Carl was a little boy that Jimmy just took. Come on, Dorothy, this is our son. Brought him and taught him music down at Dunbar. One of the little engineers would come on be here just before Titus. Jimmy taught him. And then Theo, Jimmy used to take those children and teach them music. He was a father to a lot of children when he was in school. And a lot of children walk through. We remember Mr. Tillman. So that's what I mean by when you have men in the schools, what they can do. And how you can be the father to a lot of children. So he got a lot of folks out there. And once again, happy birthday and happy Father's Day. Williams. Williams, you got good morning. How you doing?
Fine. You know, I love my grandpa's dirty drawers, my father's father.
Uh-huh.
down in Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
The funnest times he had was, you know, taking a pilgrimage to go down for the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And hang out with him on the farm because he had animals, you know, cows and pigs and chickens.
Yeah.
And me and my brothers, we were, you know.
You got your window rolled down or something? I got a lot of static. What's wrong?
You know what? I'm out on the fish bank. The wind is blowing.
Out there fishing, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, I love my grandpa and my father. My father, he wasn't an educated man.
Uh-huh.
He knew that we needed our own. He preached it. He said, get your own grocery stores, get your own gas stations, get your own stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And my brother's a living testament to that with his operation he has down in Danville, Illinois. He has Heavenly Square Mall, you know.
You see that?
That's the legacy of my father. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say that, Dan. I love my father and my grandfather and my mother's father.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to play this song for all the ones who might not have had their biological father. But they had people like the folks who was with the Jackie Robinson, with those children, those young men who was playing with Jackie Robinson, with the football, all the other stuff, these grandfathers or these stepfathers, these uncles, or these folks in the community. We can color them father, color them love. Y'all can still be colored father, and you still can be colored love. This is to all you fathers out there who's coloring love and coloring father. Should I go into it to get the next time? This to my granddaddy, we called him father, we called him love. In fact, we put that's what we put on his tombstone. My step-grandfather, call him father, call him love.
Now the man at my house is so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat.
Yeah.
He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat.
Sit down at the dinner table.
Never frown, always
smile.
When he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day to school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color this man father. Come on, y'all. Be colored father and colored love. Yeah. All you brothers out in the street, come on. Be colored father, colored love, some of these boys.
Yes, I will. He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why. Except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard
my stepfather, Willie Suggs, we called him father, even though we had my daddy, James Wright. Right, James Jr.?
I'll color him
and Big Daddy.
I'm gonna color him
and to all of my nephews, they're great fathers. James Jr., all your children are great fathers. Woo!
Our real old man, he got killed in the war.
Yeah.
And she knows she and seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big white He married my mother.
I'm going to play all this. How many more minutes on?
And now we belong to the man with that big white ring. Color
hey, y'all, color this man. Y'all go out there and help somebody so you can be colored father. Uncle Tree, we color you father, my brother. Yeah. Mr. Gardner. Woo!
Color him father.
Hey, color him father, color him love, y'all. We got to color him father. Won't y'all go somewhere and let somebody color you father and color you love? Not to mention folks who bring boys and girls together. Color him father, color him love. That was the way our community was. That was the black community. We let some come in here. They said, why we ain't destroyed these folks? And they came in the middle of our community, and they figured out the extended family and all of that. That's how they figured it out. How do we destroy this? We don't say mother. We don't say father. We don't take them to church. We don't. When you marry a woman, you take care of her children, and you have a big, fat agreeing. That's why you sit at the table and stuff. But then let the children color you father and color you love. I tell you. Hey, Jean. Hello, Jean.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Pat?
I'm all right now. Tell me about you. I know about your daddy. Tell me about your daddy.
Oh, yeah. I was a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
And he had Mars and Values. He left one job and went on another one.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years to educate his kids.
Yeah.
And he spent quality time with her. And also, I have three wonderful nephews. Love them to death. One calls me every day from Atlanta, Georgia. And I have 1 year and one in Austin, Texas.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm.
They spend quality time with kids. Happy Father's Day to all of the men, those who are here and those who are gone. And you have a good day, and happy Father's Day to Mr. Jimmy.
Okay, I love you, because I know your father has some Andy Thompson's sister. He had some of his children became doctors, teachers, and everything. Thank you so much, Jean. Thank you. Call him father, call him love. Don't y'all, you don't have no children, go be colored father, color love. If you get a woman, you're supposed to love her children, but they got this wild thing going out here. Anytime you see somebody up on the police car twerking half naked and stuff, hey, she needs a father image. She needs somebody to say, come here, girl. Let me talk to you. Why is she twerking? What's going on there? And then somebody said, why he was looking, they were laughing. No, he was not looking. He knew if he had drove off fast, whoever was in the car, and the girl fell, it would have been something. What can you do? Come on, y'all, we got to put morals, as she says, back. Moral and love. Love is so deep. God is love. If you love, you can do. Love is the most powerful force. But they put this hate in the middle of everything. Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, to all the men in VON land.
Okay, I would like to talk about my father.
Okay.
My father only had a third grade education, mm-hmm. but he migrated up here to Chicago with my mother. And it was five of us in our family,
mm-hmm.
and he took care of us. And he was our father to the day he died, and we was his children to the day he died.
Yeah.
And that's the way he said it.
Yeah.
He could have fixed any car, any truck. He did not go to school to learn it. His father taught him. He said in the wintertime, in the summertime, in the dark, early in the morning, that was his skill, was in his hands.
Yeah. And that's why they took away vocational training from our children.
Yes.
Dorothy,
have you noticed the new birth certificates? They don't have mother and fathers.
And I think, they said male, female. Number one, number two. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I got to take a break. I forgot. I'm cousin and father. Thank you so much. I'm going to take a three-minute break, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVN, 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.vun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Blog Talk, Facebook. I'm going to be gone for 2 minutes, y'all. I'll be right back, Brother Ali. I got a few lines open. Y'all ain't got but about 10 or 15 minutes. Y'all better call. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Did you know you can purchase a home with a credit score as low as 600 and a down payment as low as 3.5%, which can be met using down payment assistance? This is banking, a Fifth Third better. Learn more about how to prepare and secure a mortgage at Fifth Third Banking, where they're working hard to make banking a Fifth Third better, which means they put 166.7% into everything they do. Visit 53.com/mortgage Fifth Third, an equal housing lender.
Hi, it's me, Gia Peppers.
Tune in to More Than That with me live this weekend, or catch the show wherever you listen to podcasts. On our very special Juneteenth episode, we're talking to griot Marsha Music, writer Baratunde Thurston, and image activist Michaela Angela Davis. More Than That is brought to you by General Motors. Visit GM.com to learn more about their actions and commitment to becoming one of the most inclusive companies in the world. Everybody in.
Well, our stories are our history. Most of the time people read their history, we're not going to be there.
I would love to see people in this country speak about the history, the more complete history.
You know, I want to expand our liberation. So freedom for me looks like telling the truth all the time.
Breaking up is hard to do. Just when you think you're ready to leave, you talk yourself back into staying. And when it comes to your wireless carrier, you know you should have left a while ago. You're over the big three carriers. You deserve better. Xfinity Mobile, the carrier rated number one in customer satisfaction. Now you can get unlimited with 5G included for just $30 a month when you get four lines. $30 for all the flexibility you could ask for on the nation's fastest, most reliable network. That's the kind of relationship you want to be in, where there's give and take. We give you unlimited data for $30. You take it everywhere you go. So break free from the big three and switch to Xfinity Mobile to start saving.
Take the savings challenge at XfinityMobile.com/MySavings or visit an Xfinity store to learn how our Switch Squad makes it easy to switch to Xfinity Mobile and Internet together and save hundreds. Savings compared to top three carriers. Xfinity Internet required. Reduced speed to 20 gigabytes per line. Most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary, not an endorsement.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey! Say it loud! Black, and I'm proud. You can't be proud if you don't salute your fathers and your men. Respect men. We're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690-773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.viewing.com, on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. Facebook group, Facebook, and you go back to Blog Talk. I have a few lines open and 15 minutes ago. If y'all want to call, you can. I only got 15 minutes and a few lines to go. Brother Ali.
Good morning, Dorothy.
And good morning.
I already said happy birthday to Brother Jimmy on Facebook, so I know he saw it.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. My father's name was Emmett Johnson.
Yeah.
From Arcola, Mississippi.
Whoa, uh-huh.
Yeah. And he went to Korea from there, and he served honorably there. Came back, had seven children by my mama, and raised us all, gave us common sense, raised us with common sense.
Common sense. Yeah.
And, you know, they don't teach that no more.
Common sense and mother wit, huh?
Yeah. He bought us our own building so we can grow up in it.
Uh-huh.
I only knew one address until I got out of high school.
You see?
He said he didn't want nobody messing with his kids.
You see?
And then he sent us all to school. You know, then he moved out west, bought my mama another beautiful home.
Get your mom.
She lived there 35 years, and he just was a great father. He was always there for all of us. And he ruled us with a lot of common sense.
Thank you. You know what I like about that, Brother Ali? See, we have to talk about this more. We let this other stuff dominate. And these folks make us feel like we're so pitiful and this is what we are. We're not all that other little stuff they up. We're like your father and like you. And that's what we got to highlight.
Common sense is education, Dorothy. Common sense is education. But people don't know it. So sometimes we get educated and then we get stupid on top of it.
Educated food.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
Thank you for honoring the fathers, Dorothy.
I'm going to honor the father because I respect black men. I love black men. My father was a black man. I was a baby. I was a father's girl. I tell you, I love my daddy. I didn't call everybody call him dad. I call him my daddy. My daddy. Daddy, yeah. Dad, I said, but my daddy. They said, oh, that's Dorothy Jean's daddy. You done right. My dad. I love my daddy. And I loved my stepfather. And they all stayed together. My stepmother. All of us was one family because my mother and father got married as teenagers. And then when they divorced later on, the families and all stayed together. We all were still together. My daddy. Okay, Matlin. Matt? Yes, hello?
Yes, good morning, Dorothy.
Yes, Madeline, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
I set my schedule this morning so I could call in and just weigh in on this topic very quickly.
Thank you.
I appreciate black men.
Thank you.
And this is a time of the year when we can really honor our black men.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often, as you know, historically, our black men have been marginalized.
Right.
Because of the systemic racism in this country. And the women have had to step forward and try to, and hold things together. But our black men, so often, as I've heard so many people say on your show this morning, including your father, including all the men who are still alive, they have stepped up to the plate, many of them, and we've hearing those wonderful examples of what real men represent. And, you know, like when you talk about your children's father,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Jimmy Lee Tillman, and I met your son, Jimmy Lee Tillman.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's just so many examples of so many men who know how to be men, and especially how to be black men, because it's tough being a black man in this country.
But you know what, Madeline? You know what, Madeline? You know what a black woman messed up at? We never talked about the difference of, we got to shine this woman, to shine that man. We were a family. And once we got into it and we started trying to describe our relationship with our men and with our family the way the white woman did, then that's when we messed up. We understood what we did, and they understood what we were doing. We never had this thing, but there's a separatism that came in there, and we are like I said, I don't follow no white women. They can follow me and work with me, but don't – you cannot – describe or decide how I am, because one of the things, Madeline, when they talk about discrimination, they weren't discriminating against white women. They had all the riches that their men gave them.
Yes.
And some
yes.
of them had slaves. So black women better wake up and go back to family.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you're saying that, Dorothy, because we've got to celebrate. We got to bring back our black family structure.
Mm-hmm.
It is being marginalized. You know, I'm not against anybody. If you want to, however you want to live your life, that's your business.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at what's happening to the marginalization of the black family structure,
right?
With all this stuff about, you know, no longer saying mother, father, male, female. It's now a person,
uh-huh.
or gender, or number one, number two, all that. That's mess.
And not going to church, Madeline. Look, Madeline. Talk about my God. I tell folks, you can talk about evolution. My God, how did all this stuff get created? Where it's coming from? See, everything that kept us strong, they're just snatching it from under us, and we got to take it back. We got to do it, all of us, those of us who know, before we exit this earth, Madeline.
Yes, and I just want to say in closing, Dorothy, you know, my father and I did not have a good relationship. He had some mental issues.
Uh-huh.
But I know in my bloodline, he was an entrepreneur. My entrepreneur spirit came from him, even though we didn't really associate, and I did not interact with him with some of the business things that he was doing. Nonetheless, that's been the primary thing that I'm doing. And one of these days, I'm going to talk to you because I have a business and I'm developing. It's a legal services business where I'm doing clemency petitions for people who are guys who are primarily men. I have a couple of women who are incarcerated.
Well, let's talk later because I got to talk to some of these people. I know even though you might not have a relationship with your father, you had uncles and other folks, too, that you related to that gave you men. Thank you, Madeline. I want to take another call because I'm almost out of time. Thank you, Madeline. Michelle?
Hey, thank you, Miss Dorothy Tillman. And I am still a daddy's girl, let me tell you why. Even though my dad is long gone, I want to give honor to his side of my DNA because his grandfather married a mulatto. They had 15 children, of which only one girl who happened to be my grandmother, who had my dad, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Those 14 uncles helped raise.
You see what I'm talking about?
My dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They helped raise, and they were mulattoes, too.
My mom was a mulatto.
Except my dad came out a little bit darker because his mother was a little bit darker.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, one of the things, Michelle, was we have family structure. power we had that kept us together. And the only thing that will bring us back together is to have that structure. These folks is out to get rid of us and demise us. We don't know
it. One thing I want to just add, if I could, real quickly, please.
Mm-hmm.
He was taught how to protect his mother and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So when anything went down, those uncles trained him well, okay? And so when my dad grew up, he provided for all
that's
of his
my
children
father.
And protected. And so I have to give a great admiration to all those cousins that I know still exist. I mean, because you got to think about it.
Yeah.
If there were 14 boys,
oh,
and
a lot
one
of
girl,
there's a lot of.
Oh, you know I
woo,
got a lot
baby,
of cousins, honey. And they
you better have a family reunion.
Take care of business, baby.
Well,
Let me just say
I'm dedicating this song to you and all the others whose fathers are gone. And even the ones who were incarcerated, the ones who then left mentally, dance with my father. This is for y'all, for all of you. I wish I could dance with mine. I love my daddy. Ooh, I love my daddy. Everybody knew I loved my daddy, right, James Jr.? You was my brother was a mama's boy, but I was a daddy's girl. Woo! Happy Father's Day to all the men in my family. And James, to all your boys, you did a great job. To all of Liberty Men, to all the men who worked with me when I was in office, all of y'all listening, happy Father's Day to you. And happy birthday, Quinn, even though you get out of order sometimes. Yeah. This is to all of you who fathers have gone. My father gave me roles. He taught me I should be treated as a woman. Yeah. Happy birthday, Jimmy Tillman.
Another chance.
Woo!
Another one.
Okay, Jimbo. Number one, Dad. Woo! Bimaji, number one, Dad. That's my baby boy.
Today
woo!
With my father again.
And all you men who've taken and helping these boys and girls.
When I and my mother, I would disagree.
I'm going to let this song play for you. How many minutes I got over there? How long is that song?
To heaven, he make me laugh just to comfort me. Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
Finally make me
hey, y'all. Oh, I feel a little romantic up in here. Think about my dad. When I think of my dad, I think of love. Come on, black men, I have faith in you. That's why when you was incarcerated, I came to see you. All the men in jail, I went to all the jails. And some of these brothers are doing good now. They walk up on me and say, hey, daughter. Hey, sister, you remember me? Yeah.
One final
and we're not what the TV show is. That's just that. Home's happy. Father's Day to you, my brother, because you out there on the street.
To dance with my father.
Woo! And all the men at WDON.
Sometimes I'd listen outside the door.
Yeah!
And I'd hear how my
ooh, my father died. I thought I could never live. Whoa, my daddy died. I thought it was over for me. The Civil Rights Movement got me through. Jerry Herman and all the Civil Rights Movement, they got me through my father's death because I was about to give up. Woo! My daddy died too young. Woo! Hey, changing.
I know I'm praying.
To all you girls, daddy girls. No more calls, y'all. We're getting up out of here.
And this is all I ever dreamed.
Happy Father's Day. I'm going to slide into what I got to go when this goes. Hey! Hey, Bimini G, I mean Tillman. Hey, my son wrote this song, y'all. You can start my other song, right? Okay, my son, Bimini G Tillman, said, Mother, I'm going to write this for you. That's when I was fighting for the reparation, him and the House of Twain. He did reparations now. You can play now. We're getting ready to get up out of here. Bimini G Tillman, great artist, just like his daddy. 15 instruments, writes in a range, and played with all the greats. B.B. King, Lou Rawls, and all of them. Otis Clay, his father. He's over there with Jim Alita, helping holding that theater together. He came in off the road and said, I got to help keep this theater together. Y'all don't see him that much, but he's there, holding together, him and Jim Alita. Yeah. To you too, Miss Edmund, happy Father's Day, and to Dorothy G, to your father Phil, happy Father's Day. Woo! And all the men that work with the Harold Washington Culture Center, happy Father's Day. Woo! They cut children from my queen's gut. Hey, my son, right ring. He did it for his mama. See y'all next week, y'all. Forced to be a field hand by another white man, Mr. President. I'm here to represent for mine and for the Africa in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people, pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chain. Brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now? I'm a former slave. I've been shackled, been locked in chain, yeah. But somehow my soul remains. Hey, this is the Juneteenth Day. This song is dedicated to Juneteenth from Bimini G, me and Tillman. Tell your business, beat me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus, and the bottom of your ships and at the back of your butt, you'll find us with a black face embedded in stuff. Survivor us of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us such a dude. The talk of Chicago is 1690 WBOM Sherman, every Chicago. They gotta quit it, and meanwhile, and on exhibit was a black neck from a tree. We'd probably be millionaires equal. I'm Vanessa Tyler.
And I'm Mike Stevens on your